But he's back again. The Colorado State Board of Education will now conduct a public rulemaking hearing for rules for food and nutrition services, 1 CCR 301-3. The State Board approved the notice of rulemaking at its March 11, 2015 meeting. A hearing to promulgate these rules was made known through publication of a public notice on March 25, 2015, through the Colorado Register and by State Board notice on May 6, 2015. The State Board is authorized to promulgate these rules pursuant to 22-2-107-1CCRS. Commissioner, is the staff prepared to provide an overview?
Yes, and I'll turn this over to Ms. Leanne Ann, who's been following this route again. This has been noticed, and this is the first public hearing. So,
yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Sorry, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't being told to do something. Thank you, yes. And with me today is Jennifer Oakes, the Director of School Finance, and also Jane Brand, our Director of Nutrition Services, to kick off the points about these two interrelated rulemaking hearings. But we will take the food and nutrition rules first. So thank you.
Thank you again, Jennifer Oakes. And just as a reminder about our discussion with you all back in March about these rules, we had stakeholder outreach for over a year now. We've included nutrition directors, business managers, CFO, accountant types in the districts. We held over a dozen stakeholder meetings to prepare the rules. And during that process, we were always mindful to make sure that we were looking towards consolidation, clarification, streamlining the rules, basically make it easier for districts and make sure that everything makes sense. As a result of that effort and that thing in the back of our minds, we proposed the rule changes that are before you. And with the food and nutrition services, there were really basically three types of changes that we're recommending, or we presented, is moving the rules related to the food service fund, because those are accounting type stuff, move those from the nutrition, food and nutrition services, move them over to the accounting. You know, keep the accounting with the accounting stuff and the nutrition stuff with the nutrition stuff. We also removed several redundancies in the rules and then clarified some language that, in working with the districts, it wasn't worded as clearly as it could. Since the notice of rulemaking, we received three comments in support of the rules. Those covered representatives from both the programmatic, the nutrition side of the house, as well as the operational or financial side of the house. And then in your board packets, there's a summary of those comments and the actual letters that you received. Based upon those, we're not recommending any changes to the rules based upon the feedback we received. The comments didn't identify any recommended changes, and so therefore we're not recommending it.
Is this time for me to ask for testimony then? Is there anyone present to testify? And since I happen to know there is, Teresa Hafner. Teresa, where did you go? There she is. And we use the 3-minute rule here.
Okay. Do I stand here?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
And speaking to the little holes, right? Good afternoon. Yeah. Thank you, members of the Colorado State Board of Education, for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Teresa Hafner, and I'm the Executive Director of Enterprise Management, which includes food services for Denver Public Schools. I'm here today to advocate for retaining the 30 minutes non-compete window before and after meal service for any area of school campuses that are accessible to students. We feel strongly this time buffer is necessary to maintain the nutritional integrity of the school meals program. Sales of snack foods right up to meal times undermines the SFA, School Food Authority's, ability to provide complete meals for children, because children will not be as hungry for a complete meal after receiving a recent snack. Or they might not even purchase a complete meal if they know a fun snack is available right afterward. It is highly unlikely that smart snacks sold will be fruits, vegetables, or proteins. Rather, they will probably be grains because these are cheaper than fruits, vegetables, and proteins. Our complete balanced meals provide all the components with the most optimal choices. Smart snacks might be healthy, but they cannot substitute for a meal. They're still snacks. SFAs, school food authorities, are making investments in scratch cooking and in fresh fruits and vegetables. These are required and not inexpensive components of reimbursable meals. However, there is a very real risk that consumption of these foods will decline if meals are not safeguarded. Finally, the LEA is responsible for ensuring the nutritional integrity of the smart snacks that are not sold by an SFA. And they are not staffed to be able to do this. There isn't any good system for an LEA to evaluate the nutritional content of snacks. Therefore, without the staff and systems in place, non-nutritive snacks will be sold right until meals are available. This directly compromises the important and good work that's being done to feed children nutritious school meals. And as a parent, I know I have numerous times said, no, you can't have a snack right now because we're too close to breakfast, lunch, dinner, and you will not be hungry for the nutritious meal I've made. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mona Martinez. Mona Martinez. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the Colorado State Board of Education, for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Mona Martinez Brosh, and I am the Director of Nutrition Services for Aurora Public Schools, and I'm also a registered dietitian. My colleague from Denver Public Schools, as you just heard, we split up the business here. She talked about the nutrition aspect. I'm going to talk about the financial integrity of the program. And we want to express our views on the Food and Nutrition Services 201-202 regulates competitive food sales 30 minutes before to 30 minutes after each scheduled meal service on any area of school campus that is accessible to students. We feel strongly that the rule needs to remain in order to maintain the financial viability and nutritional integrity of the school meals program. When this protection is not in place at 30 minutes before, during, and 30 minutes after the meal service programs, when this protection is not, school meals programs are impacted financially and have the potential to be utilized only by those qualifying for free and reduced priced meals rather than being a nutrition program for all students. I understand and appreciate the concept of a free and open market as it is the American way, but unfortunately our heavily regulated meals program hinders our ability to compete fairly with every school organization that wants to make money for their worthy cause. We acknowledge a unified need for a definite time separation of sale times in order to prevent competitive food sales with the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. And Regulation 201-02 builds in protection of the district's general fund from potential transfers to offset bad debt to the child nutrition programs that can be caused from competitive vendors marketing items to the students. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Is there any further discussion? If so, if there's no more discussion, I would recognize a motion to approve the rules for food and nutrition. Angelica? Is there a second? Val, seconds? Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Therefore, the rules are approved. That was really difficult. I wish all of our discussions went through that easily.
Thank you.
Marsha, I'll just mention there was a great article in my local paper about our district purchasing a food truck and actually providing quality district meals at the high school with their food truck. In an attempt, no, it's not disguise. It wasn't about disguising. You've got a pretty negative thing about districts. It's about offering alternatives that are still within the guidelines as opposed to what they're preparing that day in the school. So they've got actually a menu of options in the food truck that they can manage.
There was an article in our newspaper which had a picture of the students' tray when they were returning to back, and the only thing they'd eaten on the tray was an apple. So everything else was intact.
Well, at least they have that nutritious.
But they got that apple. That's all that matters.
And apples are very good.
Apple a day. Yes.
Apple a day. Colorado State Board of Education will now conduct a public rulemaking hearing for rules for accounting and reporting. State Board approved the notice of rulemaking in its March 11, 2015 board meeting. A hearing to promulgate these rules was made known through publication of a public notice on March 25, 2015 through the Colorado Register and by State Board notice on May 6, 2016. 15, the State Board is authorized to promulgate these rules pursuant to 22-45-101 through 103, 22-30.5104, 22-30.5-503, 22-2-107, parent 1, parent C, 22-30.5-603, and 22-44-206-CRS. Commissioner, is staff prepared to provide an overview?
Yes, Sarah, we couldn't make it any more complex than that.
That was nasty.
In actuality, it's the same as the issue before, trying to streamline the rules. These dovetail with each other, and I'll turn over to the same.
Yes, thank you. And these are just about the most boring set of rules that you'll ever have to deal with, but I'll turn it over to Ms. Oaks again.
You're
thank
going
you.
To read them all to us.
No.
No, I'd put you to sleep, especially right after lunch. So, again, they were to streamline. And many of these rules we took from anything related to the food service fund. We lifted them from the prior rules and then place them into the accounting and reporting rules where they we felt they were more appropriate. There were three kind of substantive changes other than those clarifications that we discussed. Just updating the fund treatment, and that was decided after consultation with CPAs. The Office of the State Auditor had a representative there, business managers from districts, CFOs, looked at that, and there was agreement that changing and updating the fund treatment is appropriate. It more appropriately accounts for the activities of a nutrition program as a special revenue fund. And it also decreases the complexity in the accounting for districts because a special revenue fund accounting is more like the normal governmental general fund type accounting. And so it's not only more appropriate, but it's simpler, and those are both good things. We also are removing an indirect cost restriction, and that just removes an outdated provision related to when districts can, if they choose, charge indirect costs to the program. It's no longer relevant because of a statute change in 2001, I believe, and then it provides more flexibility for districts in how to manage their funds locally. And so we think that that's a good thing. There's also a clarification of defining what the operating year is. And that's in response to a recommendation by the Office of the State Auditor. And so we're clarifying that it's a 9-month operating year, the school year. And again, we chose that to provide districts with the most flexibility. So those are sort of the substantive, a very high level of the substantive changes that are being proposed. We did receive 4 comments related to these rules during the rulemaking process, and there were 2 recommendations in those comments for additional wording changes, and both of those are very technical, kind of clarifying changes, and CDE staff we support and would recommend making those changes. Those changes are included in your packet in the we tried to not only give you the red line of the changes, but a little rationale. So they're the highlighted green ones. And again, they're very technical. the comments, again, we were happy to see came both from the programmatic side of things and the financial operational side. And your board packets do have the detailed recommendations.
Thank you. There's no one signed up to testify, so we don't really have any public testimony. Unless there's anyone in the audience that wants to jump up and testify about these. Any discussion? Angelica?
So there's a separate food fund, and it's like a profit-making. Do we include the federal funds in that?
Yes.
And if it's on a nine-month calendar, how does a district that provides food over the summer pay for that, or is that somehow a separate fund again?
Madam Chair, the nine-month operating is only in regard to the calculation of how much cash they can have on hand. So it doesn't mean that they only operate their program for nine months of the year. It's just a calculation on how much cash on hand they can have.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Deb?
Thank you. Is this correct then that the changes to the rules for accounting and reporting are mostly to embed the food and nutrition services rules within the larger set of rules for accounting and reporting? Is that right?
Madam Chair, yes, that is correct.
Okay, then I just have one follow-up question. When the board reviews the budget for CDE, which is coming up when, Commissioner?
Next meeting.
When I look at all these types of funds, pupil activity, building, enterprise, internal service, fiduciary, private purpose, permanent foundations, so forth, all these types of funds, are they broken out when we look at the CDE budget? And with respect to the sources of funding and rules around them? And it seems to me when I remember looking at the budget the last several years that it's been very high.
It's very different from school districts. Very different than school districts.
But these are rules for school districts,
yeah.
Not for CDE.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was my lack of clarity. I thought, okay. So we don't break out those same funds at CDE.
We don't even have food.
We don't have those
funds. We don't have food.
No, I know, but I mean some of those types of funds. Because they feed the district.
Sure, it's in a truck out.
Is that right?
Commissioner?
What you'll receive in June is any decision letters.
Yes.
That's all. What you'll also receive, and we're working on it, and we'll go into greater detail next month, is a much more detailed report in August, because you can still make changes. That really breaks things down. Instead of giving you probably 5 inches, what we bring forward to you first is any decision items, which is minimal this year. And then we'll bring back in August at your meeting. We're trying to work together a special document that gives you a lot of details in a kind of summary format that you can talk about.
Great, thank you.
Any other comments? Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion, rulemaking hearing. Do I have a motion to approve?
I move that we approve the rules.
Pam moves that we approve.
Second.
Angelica, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Madam Chairman, I need one clarification.
You may make a clarification, Commissioner.
Dr. Shovel, one clarification. We're talking about the decision starting today in advance, but there's a process and all the detail we're able to put together. It comes in August because we can't make everything.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, what are we doing? Educator license. I don't have anything to say here, but I just say it. Action 14, educator licensure. I don't have anything. Oh, okay. So this isn't anything.
It's just that.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. At the request of former state board member John Evans, we will hear a brief presentation regarding this agenda item, which is the School Leaders for America. School Leaders for America authorization request to serve as a designated agency for a one-year alternative teacher preparation program named as Dr. Cal Frazier Teacher Fellow Program. I'm skimming through here. Welcome, John. Where are you, John? We appreciate your being here and look forward to hearing from you. And because we have a time chart, oh, no, we don't anymore. We changed this around. Try to keep your presentation at 15 minutes.
I certainly will. All right, but I'd like to have Jean, Ann, and Pat Frazier come up and sit right here if that's all right with you.
That is just fine.
Could you come up, please? Jean is daughter, Pat is daughter-in-law, and of course this lovely lady, Jean here, is the wife of Cal Frazier. And for 14 years, Cal Frazier serves as your Commissioner of Education. So I'd like to please have a seat, Jean. I can sit down right here. Thank you. I don't know, have you ever had an appearance in front of the State Board in those 14 years?
No, not really. I don't know what you missed.
One other person I'd like to have come up, and that is Lieutenant Colonel David Hammershock. If he could take that chair right there. Pat Hayes, my board chairman, and for 6 years served as chairman of the State Board of Education.
Sense of regrets.
Pat Hayes.
In the 80s?
It was in the 90s.
Oh,
96 to 90, 2000.
Okay.
She served as chairman of the state board, and she sends her regrets. She has a very bad back. It really was bad for her today, but she wanted to assure the members of the board that I am not the cause of her back pain. I may have been when I was on the state board, but not today. So I do appreciate your time and opportunity. We have... thanks to your opportunity, in 2006, we were approved to operate an alternative licensure program for principals and assistant principals. It was part of a program that Cal Frazier originally helped start. In 2002, as a member of the State Senate, I sponsored, and Cal Frazier and several other members of the education community put together what we call the new licensure program for teachers and principals. We moved from a certificated program to a performance-based program for the training of principals and teachers in the state of Colorado. We're one of the first states in the union to adopt that performance-based method of education. And so as the result of that legislation, we began also looking at alternative licensure as an alternative way to bring more people into the profession, because at that time, and as this time, there was a tremendous need for more teachers, for more and effective principals, and so Cal Frazier recognizing that, started School Leaders for America as an alternative program, and we were the first alternative program in the state to offer alternative education in the state. I like to think we're still the best, but anyhow, I wanted to have an opportunity to come to you and present our program, our new program, because we're expanding our program for the military. Now, as I said, in 2006, we started with an alternative program for principals and teachers, kind of a teacher-to-principal program. Then, in 2002, we began moving toward a troops-to-principals program to help military individuals who are coming out of the military transition into education and leadership positions. We have a working agreement with School District 11, where they provide opportunities for our individuals to become intern principals in their school district, and they spend a year there, and then they have an opportunity to gain their alternative principal's license. At the end of the program, they receive their professional principal's license. And I can report today, and I'm going to let Colonel Hammershock address you in a second, they graduate and they become school principals. So I'm going to have Dr. Hammershock talk to you a little bit about the Troops of Principal program.
Thank you, Dr. Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel David Hammershock. I am a
a director of economics and instructor economics at the Air Force Academy. And last summer, I made the decision I was going to retire after, it'll be 24 years this July 1st. And when I decided what to do next, it was going to be, I've just served in the Air Force. I decided I want to start serving children. And I didn't know what was possible until I went to a transition assistance program. And at the end of one day, they mentioned the Troops to Principals program. Within a month, I started classes with John here. Didn't realize what I was getting myself into. I didn't realize the mountain I was trying to overcome. And thankfully, a couple weeks ago, Rocky Mountain Classical Academy in District 49 hired me to be a principal and to be a head of school starting in July. So I just want to thank you very much for allowing folks like myself to transition. And I hope you will hear some amazing things coming out of our school in the near future. So thank you all very much. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Colonel.
The other program, the program that you're approving today, is the Dr. Cal Frazier Teacher Fellows Program. And I'd like to take a second to, it's named in honor of Dr. Frazier, but I hope you'll permit me just to take a second. And Jean, I hope you'll forgive me for reading a little bit about Cal's biography a second here, because it's important, I think, that we appreciate and understand the tremendous contributions that he made to public education. Until his timely death, Dr. Frazier was completing a three-year assignment with the Rose Community Foundation for Denver Public Schools. He was in the development of a new performance pay-based pay system for the teachers in Denver Public Schools. He was serving also as a distinguished fellow for the Education Commission of the States. He began his work in Washington State and served for 10 years as an elementary and secondary teacher, principal, and director of special education. He received his doctorate from the University of Oregon and came to Colorado as a professor of school administration at the University of Colorado in Boulder. 5 years after receiving tenure, he returned to public education as a deputy school superintendent in District 11. Nice kind of circular path back. 5 years later, he accepted the appointment as Commissioner of Education, and he held that point for 14 years. He returned to higher education at the University of Denver in the Administrative Preparation Program. He retired after 6 years. He consulted with John Goodlad's Institute for Educational Inquiry, National Network of Educational Renewal, Education Commission of States. He received the Distinguished Service Awards at the University of Colorado and the American Association of School Administrators highest awards. And the program that we're talking about today, the Cal Frazier Teacher Fellows Program, is primarily designed and named in honor of him. The program essentially takes individuals that are very much like Colonel Hammershock on the process of coming out of the military. Many of the individuals have 5 to 10 years of teaching experience in the military. I don't know if you know this or not, but the military uses the public school model for training their own. What they don't have is the pedagogical background and experiences that are essential for being an effective teacher. And that's what the Troops to Teachers program, primarily the Dr. Cal Frazier Teachers Fellows program, does. We've received a nice $75,000 grant from the Anschutz Foundation to help push the program and reduce the cost of tuition for the program. And they've challenged me to raise the other money necessary to make sure that the program is low cost and as free as much as possible to the individual members of the military coming out of the military and wanting to become teachers. We work very closely with the Troops to Teachers program at the federal level and the Department of Defense. In fact, Joe Morgan is a member of our board of directors, and we're very proud to have him on our board. The program is a very special program, and I think CDE and staff can talk to the special arrangements of the program much better than I can. Only to say that to qualify for a program, you have to have a bachelor's degree from a higher education regionally accredited institution. The interesting thing is all of our candidates are coming with 2 master's degrees. One in a content area, in a STEM content area, science, math, engineering, or any of the other STEM areas, and in languages, foreign languages. So we're getting STEM candidates in the content area. And then in addition, they have their second master's degree, which is usually in administration or business management or the other field. And the reason for that is very simple, and that is for promotion boards love master's degrees. And so the more master's degrees you have, the better off you move up the line for promotion. But we're taking advantage of that wonderful background in education. So even though your requirements require a bachelor's degree, we're finding our people are coming to us with two master's degrees. They cannot have completed any other teacher education program anywhere, and they don't. They don't have a teacher's license, but they do, like I said, all of them have an excellent background in teaching. What we do is we then provide them with the background and necessary. They're employed by the district. They work in the district. And then we train, we work with them. We provide them mentors and coaches all throughout the program. So that's, in essence, what our program is about. And, of course, we've complied with your standards that you put in place for teacher education, recognizing the importance of teaching and the importance of raising high standards for individuals to meet in order to become to get their principal their teacher's license and to come in the teaching profession. For that, I thank you for your hard work, and I know a little bit about that hard work. I want to say to you all that thank you very much for your time today. I'd like to have maybe Jean say a word. Would you like to say something on Cal's behalf, Jean, today?
I loved him. He's great. And it's been almost 28 years since he had your job.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wonderful things about it.
But anyhow, that concludes my presentation, except to introduce two other people, and if I don't, I'll be in trouble. That is my assistant and the registrar for our program, Dixie Weiss, which is over there, and of course, my wife, Mary Ann. Now, I can tell you, I know two things about our marriage. I know our wedding date, which is August 1st, and her birthday. But I know we've married 30-some years, but I can't. 32 years, okay. She's on me, so anyhow. But thank you all very much, and thank you for your time. I know you're really pressed today for time, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. And anybody else around here, be happy to answer about the Troops of Principals program. David, be happy to answer about the classes. Our classes are held at the University of Northern Colorado Center in Colorado Springs. It's a wonderful facility that's made available to us by the University of Northern Colorado. We have a place we can hold classes in Parker. We choose to do so, but the facility in Colorado Springs is so beautiful. We usually hold all of our courses there. We have two classrooms, very high-tech classrooms that we hold our courses there, and of course, the intern program at the school district itself.
Did you want to do something?
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to get to work with Dr. Frazier in the Alliance for Quality Teaching for a number of years, which I believe he began, and I can't remember how many years we lasted, but we lasted long enough to get a whole lot of the changes made in teacher education programs. I have a couple of questions. One of them is about, I got the impression that you took all your classes and now you're going to be a principal as opposed to the simultaneous leading and?
It's simultaneous. Study.
It is simultaneous.
Yes,
so you'll be continuing.
Yeah, I have two more classes at this point.
Okay. I'm interested in both in this program and the new program, the mentoring process. So it's one thing to be taking classes every other week, but on the job.
Well, Colonel Hammershock interns at Palmer.
Pretty amazing. The first interview I had was for assistant principal at Lewis Palmer High School, and they did not hire me, but I was grateful that she offered to be my principal mentor, Principal Sandy Randall. There, so I'm actually.
So you do have a mentor as you move.
Yes, I'm doing my 180 hours of mentorship with. She's amazing, and I'm really amazingly impressed and getting really good hands-on at the school at the high school level.
So, Dr. Evans, when let's say Jeffco hires one of the Cal Frazier teachers, does Jeffco then also provide the mentor? Do you choose the mentor? Do you provide the mentor? Do you have that worked out yet?
Well, in talking to Jeffco and some of the others, District 11, for example, the mentor will come from the school.
From the school itself. Okay.
From the school itself. At Palmer High School in District 11, we have two candidates that are in that program, and Laura Disney serves as their mentor, who's the principal of that school right now, for their internship. So that we also have a coach we provide as well, and the coach also is usually one of the faculty members that we have. We specialize. All of our faculty members are graduates of our program. We have over 135 graduates of our program over the last few years. So we try to bring them back as faculty members and as coaches. They're all either principals or assistant principals or curriculum directors or other positions in public schools right now.
And then in terms of what is your process of evaluating to see how your teacher is coming along? Is that the responsibility of the principal who hires your candidate? Or are you participating in that process as well? Not necessarily you personally, but...
Well, the teacher is an employee of the district, so
right.
Naturally they're 191 all the way. But we also have a separate evaluation system that we have submitted to CDE in terms of the class. They actually take a class while they're teaching,
right.
Performance class. And we have a very rigid... They put together a portfolio to demonstrate that they've met the standards that they know, can do, and understand... the standards that you have established. They have a portfolio review committee that they have to go in front of when they complete their program and defend their portfolio to make sure that it has met all of the standards
This is a lot like the university program.
Very similar.
Very similar in the controls and the expectations.
Yes, it is. And maybe that's because I used to be a professor at San Jose State University.
I see that. I didn't realize that you had been one. But
so I stole a lot of ideas from them.
Fine. They're free. Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Evans. That was great and wonderful of you to take the time and do the presentation and bring all these fine people with us. And we'll be waiting to hear all about your success.
Thank you
so much, all of you, for coming today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I'm
sorry. Marcia?
Yes, go ahead.
I move to approve the School Leaders for America, Inc. authorization request to serve as a designated agency for 1 year alternative teacher preparation program named as the Dr. Cal Frazier Teacher Fellowship Program.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Jumping around here.
Yes.
We have a 2 o'clock. Yeah, let's take a few minutes break before we jump into the